What's good, party people? It's your girl, Candia, and I'm coming to you today with a heart full of mixed emotions. So I found out that an old manager of mine, Jen McNeil, passed away. And I have such a heavy, heavy heart, y'all. It really hit me hard, particularly last night. And although it's been about 14 years since she was my manager, Jen was that person I could still hit up for career advice. Today, I wanted to share the pieces of advice as well as the lessons that I've learned from simply observing how she moved in business. And it is my intention that it would help you as well. I'm talking about advice in terms of negotiating, pricing my services. We touched base and connected. Of course, sliding into one another's DM with little jokes and likes and love and all the things. She was super excited a few years ago. Her daughter made captain in the Air Force, I believe it was. And you know what? Jen was also the first person who allowed me to believe in the dating apps. Because years ago, when she was my manager, I remember her talking about meeting this guy on Match.com, of all places. And so they wound up getting married. I believe they got married on the beach. But what I love about this is that she wasn't alone, that she was supported, that she was still in awe and in love with her husband. Because I don't know about you, but when someone passes unexpectedly, and sometimes it just hits you with a ton of bricks, you go back to their last post on Facebook. Well, at least I do. And on February 14th, she gave him a shout out and she shared that she had been battling pneumonia for the last few days. And she said that, you know, her favorite guy, her husband, had been by her side the whole time. And so while this was incredibly sad, because 4 days later, on February 20th, she actually passed away. But I said to myself, at least she wasn't alone, that she was surrounded by a support system. She was surrounded by love. And it came from that moment that she took years ago on Match.com, and she met her husband. So here we go. The first lesson that I learned from her was in knowing your value and advocating for yourself. So a few years ago, I want to say it was 2017 or 2018, I was delivering a presentation to a sales group in Las Vegas. And, you know, after doing this for so many years, sometimes when I am presenting, even online, I can sense energy. And there were two or three men in the room where I felt like their energy was off. It was a side eye of sorts, a who does she think she is type energy, or I'm skeptical of what she is saying. Now, I am very aware that it is an assumption, of course, that I'm carrying, because of course they did not tell me this, but I wasn't well received. Let me say that. And so the good part, though, about being in that room is that sometimes you connect with other people who feel your light and who are giving you the warmth that you need. And my rule is simply focus on those people. Focus on the people who are in tune, gracious, or are more welcoming. And one of the good things that came out of that situation is at that time, I'm rocking my natural hair. And sometimes when you see another woman in the room, or maybe it was a natural hair wig, I don't know, but focus, Candia. But sometimes when it's another woman, particularly, especially when it's a Black woman and she also has natural hair, you kind of give each other the look like, hey, girl, I see you rocking that natural hair. Because listen, natural hair is something that is still somewhat of a controversy in the workplace in terms of whether it is professional. So anywho, I had delivered the first part of the presentation. I believe it was a 90-minute workshop or maybe a 2-hour, 3-hour workshop. But she looked at me. She said, hey, girl, meet me in the bathroom. And so we go in the bathroom. She said, hey, I don't know what you charged them in terms of your pricing, but I need you to double or quadruple your rates because, for one, they went back and forth, meaning the higher ups who signed off on the check, they went back and forth on whether they should hire you because your rates were too low. And they felt like you couldn't possibly deliver this value because your pricing was too low. And she tells me, I will tell you that last year we had a gentleman deliver a presentation, and what you've delivered in the last hour or so beats what he delivered in his whole 3 hours. And here's the thing. I don't even want to make it a men versus women thing, because apparently there were men who questioned my pricing and the value that I could deliver. But she told me that it was one gentleman who stood up for me because they had experienced my training in another class that I did. This was a huge company. And so I conducted training for different departments over the years. And so she did say there was one gentleman who really, really went to bat for me. And so that moment was a wake-up call. I wish I would have exchanged information with her. But anywho, I continue my presentation. I was a little uneasy. I felt a little bothered. I felt disappointed in myself. And then finally, it was a connect the dot moment because I realized who was possibly the group of people who felt like I couldn't deliver on my promises. But I rushed back to my room after the presentation. And who was the first person that I called? Jen. And she not only gave me the pep talk that I needed, but she also armed me with the intel on pricing that I needed to level up in my business. She sent me over some information about rates. She shared with me rates that her clients were proposing for a similar type service, which was, I mean, it blew my rates out of the park. So it was such a huge disconnect between what I thought I should be charging and what the industry standard was. And then she continued to pour into me with some encouraging words about her experiences with me and, bottom line, knowing your value. I do believe that sometimes we think pricing ourselves low will make it more appealing for someone, but pricing yourself too low makes it unappealing because a person is starting to question if you really can do what you say you can do, because why are you so cheap? So it helped me shift my mindset. And it also helped me to understand that you can't level up alone. You have to ask questions. And since 2018, now at least once a year, I'm reaching out to people who I know in the training and development space, and I'm asking them about the standard pricing that's happening in the industry at this moment. And it's not to say that I am saying, okay, I'm going to charge that. Sometimes I charge more than what the industry standard is just because I know the value that I can deliver. And Jen really put the bug in my ear. Girl, triple that rate and own your value. Start practicing what you preach. And let me tell you, that was a game changer for me. Lesson two, watching Jen as my manager 14 years ago, I learned that for me, she was a master at being both kind and assertive, proving you don't have to sacrifice one for the other. And so oftentimes when I'm conducting leadership sessions now, one of the questions I get asked often is, how can I say this without coming off too harsh? And so my response is always, you can be direct and kind at the same time. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other. Jen showed me that you could be straight up and compassionate, all while getting the job done. She also showed me that when you're leading people, it's just not about getting the work done through them. It's about serving your people and helping them develop themselves. But here's the tea. It's just not about helping them develop themselves for their current role, but for wherever life takes them. And I remember one time when Jen and I first reconnected, I said to her, Jen, there are three women in business I always shout out as having showed me an example of what it means to lead. And she would laugh and she said, I think at this moment, Candia, this was in text. And she said, I think at this moment, the students has surpassed the teacher. But I didn't think so because I was still sliding in Jen's DM for advice. But it taught me a very, very valuable lesson that, again, leadership is just not about developing people for their current role. It's also developing them for wherever life may take them. And I wish also in my work with leaders now that they understood the power of their presence as a leader. Because listen, I hear some war stories from employees about bad managers who are condescending and yell and scream and curse. And I heard this quote from somewhere at one point. While you may not be responsible for someone's self-esteem, you are responsible for tampering with it. Quote, I think Jillian Myers. I always share that quote with my leaders because I've came across leaders who give feedback, and the feedback is a personal attack on a person's character. The feedback is diminishing to the value, or it overlooks the value that they may have contributed. And for me, it speaks to understanding that your words carry a lot of power over the course of someone's life. And although that person may move on from you because the job hasn't worked for many different reasons, there's still a human being who's going to carry the weight of your poor choice of words. And it could really impact how that employee shows up in future opportunities at another job or in another career. A lot of the employees that I work with one-on-one or even in a group setting, negative feedback that they received that was in turn a personal attack on their character, on them as a person, haunts them and it stops them from showing up confidently or courageously in their next job. So ultimately, as a leader, lead with kindness, compassion, and empathy, and courage and assertiveness, and you can do all of that at the same daggone time. All of these things I witnessed from Jen, which leads me to my next lesson, build trust before you need it. We have to understand that as leaders, there's going to be a time when you have to deliver news that your employees do not agree with, whether it's a change in process or policy. That news is going to make your people uncomfortable. Some of them will be resistant. They will be skeptical. They will challenge your approach. They will be slow to embrace the change and take action towards that change. However, if they trust you, they will show up and move accordingly. So for me, because I trusted Jen, of course, there were times that she gave directions or tasks and I was giving her the side eye. At the same time, I moved accordingly, no questions asked, because that trust was solid. Building trust is key to wielding that power, to getting people to move accordingly. Jen had this magical way of taking an interest and her people beyond their job title, at least for me. And I know for many others as well, because when I learned that she died, I was looking at the Facebook message and I saw that it was other people who were employees of Jen, and they were also commenting, she was one of the best managers I've ever had. So on this particular team that I worked with, there were about 10 of us on the team. It was a diverse team. We were all working on different aspects of developing online training for several different clients. So some of us were instructional designers, graphic designers. Some of us were related to building the content management system that we used to develop this training program for different clients. And we would have like potluck Fridays and we would go out to lunch and all of the things. And also, I remember that Jen had an open door policy, And so those moments that we would connect as a team, but also those moments when you could have these impromptu one-on-ones with her, it allowed me to feel seen, valued, and heard. And so when you talk about building trust before you need it, there it is. So here's a few questions that I want to leave you with today. I know we're all out here hustling, chasing the next best thing, be it the beach house. That's me with the beach house, y'all. Okay, that's me. I admit it. Anywho, the beach house, stacking our bank accounts. We're all focused on hustling and getting to that next best thing. But Jen's passing hit me with a reality check. Our true success, our true legacy is not etched in the material trappings of success that we accumulate over time. It's not etched in the number of likes or viral moments that you get. No, it's carved in the depth of the connections we foster, the lives we enrich, and the impact that we leave on the hearts and souls of the people we touch. So my question to you is, what does your legacy look like at this moment? Take a moment to pause today. And when you think about that, it is my hope that thinking about that will allow you to touch some hearts and minds today, to give someone a word of encouragement, to reach into your compassion bag and ask yourself, how can I help this person today? How can I make their lives easier? How can I make their lives more profound, like Jen did for me? Thank you, Jen. I can't say enough. And I guess when I look back, grief will take you some places. But one of the things I did was, over the last few days, I just kept scrolling through our text messages. And one of the things that I'm proud to say is that I gave Jen her flowers when she was alive. I told her, I said, Jen, girl, I appreciate you. And you don't know what you've done for my career and just setting the example. And then also being there along the way. So I would tell you today to give people their flowers. Let them know how much you care about them. Let them know. Share some advice with them. I know that sometimes people feel like, what can I give? And I always tell my people, look, think back to you when you were 23 years old. What did you need in that moment? And the real talk, all you need to do is be two steps ahead of somebody to share what you know with them so that it helps them or it gives them a sense of ease. Your legacy comes down to your heart-to-heart connections, the lives that you touch and uplift, not likes, not followers, not material badges of success. That is it for me today, party people. Y'all have a good one.